You know, we love to have our first-time guests. The WNBA has passed the half point of the season. Been filled with lots of intrigue and surprises. Our guest covers the W for the New York Post sports section I was reared on. She's covered some legendary events on the X platform. Follow along, use at Mad Kenny. Madeline Kenny, great having you. How was life back east in the Big Apple?
Well, thank you so much for having me. I mean, it's been good so far. This is my first summer in New York. It's definitely a lot muggier and hotter than I thought it would be. I'm used to, like, Midwest and the Bay Area summers. But you know what? I'm enjoying it. It's been good.
East Coast mugginess and heat. Yeah. I just got a little warmer in my studio just thinking about it. So a little personal background. You're from Nebraska. You're a Rambler who graduated from Loyola Chicago, who now, of course, the country knows because of Sister Jean and the 2018 Final Four. Mm-hmm. So I've just got to get your thoughts. They're an 11 seed. Those first three games were insane. They won by 2-1 and 1 point. They make the Final Four. So personally, where are you at this point? And did I read correctly? You knew, or know, I should say, Sister Jean personally?
Yeah, I do know Sister Jean. Sister Jean, she lives in a residence, like a dorm on campus, and I lived in that dorm my freshman year. And so sometimes I was a cheerleader at Loyola, so sometimes we'd walk to games together because she went to almost every home sporting event that there was, every men's basketball game for sure. She's their number one fan. So I've gotten to know her, just a great human being. And, you know, that Final Four run was so fun, just, you know, knowing how much it meant to her, because she was there when she watched them on like a black and white TV when they won the championship in 1963. So, you know, she was at Mundelein College, which was the women's college in that area at the time. But yeah, that was great. I just graduated in 2017. It was funny, you know, I will never forget. I wrote a column about Porter Mosier and Loyola giving him an extension, and I was wondering if it was a little too early to give that extension, because that up to that point, you know, they've kind of struggled in transitioning to Missouri Valley Conference play. But obviously, you know, that's one of those things. You have to, hindsight's always 2020. I mean, that run really put Loyola back on the map, and it's been really fun to see just, you know, the recruitments that they've been getting out of it ever since then, you know, moving up another conference to a bigger one. It's been great. And I got to cover that whole run for the Chicago Sun-Times. So that was, talk about like a dream come true.
That's just magical. Your pinned photos on X are a different celebration, the Warriors 2022 NBA title, when you were with the Mercury News. And kind of the timing of that, there was the injury plagued COVID season. They missed the playoffs. Then they win it all. It was their fourth title of the Curry era. You being there, I always ask people from that moment, that team, how special was it? Because most people think of Golden State and it's high octane, but that was really an elite defensive team, wasn't it?
It really was, and plus, like, you go through that playoffs again, and you look at, you know, the series that they played against each team. They weren't easy series that they had to weather to get to that point, right? Like, they played some really, there was drama, there was controversy, there were injuries that they had to withstand, and, you know, just seeing the way that Steph Curry really just cemented himself, and for him to get to his first Finals MVP, I mean, that moment meant a lot, not only to him, but to the organization, to the fan base. I mean, just to show that, you know, they still are there. I actually got on the beat in March of 2022, so perfect timing.
Wow.
I always joke that championships tend to follow after I go somewhere. They follow me. But, you know, they had a lot of issues down the stretch of that regular season, if you remember. So, like, Steph gets hurt. They went on they lost several games. They went on a road trip that was far from ideal. Defensively, they had some struggles, and they were able to just, you know, peak at the ideal in the right time, which, to win a championship, that's a lot of it, right? It's not just based on who's the most talented team. You know, health, luck, timing, so many things play factors.
Yeah. Klay missed like 50 games that year. Steph missed like 20. You really are a good luck charm. I might need you to just look over my portfolio one day. talking hoops with Madeline Kenny, New York Post. All right, on to the WNBA, the Liberty, and a former Duck, Niara Sabali, who just... Her injuries always seem to surface, but she was so important in that last game to win the title against the Lynx last year. She missed time, came back. So how has her role kind of changed with the injury to New York's big post, Jonquil Jones?
Yeah, I mean, she's definitely taken on a bigger role. I mean, there's been, you know, Sandy Brondello has been talking a lot about how they're just trying to kind of maintain a cautious approach when it comes to injuries. So Niara actually missed some time earlier this season because she had a knee issue flare up when she was warming up for a game. And so when she finally got back, was around when JJ got injured. But she, you know, she stepped into this starting role and she's been really key, you know, in helping stabilize the front court. And she's, you know, we've seen the growth as like a scorer. She's definitely a better defender than where she was even like a year ago. I think the biggest thing with Niara is you knew that she was going to be a really good player, but she just has to stay healthy, right? And to get those reps and to be out on the floor and be available. That's the biggest thing she can contribute to this team is her availability. And so, you know, I think that she's played really well. She's coming off this last game. I mean, she had four big blocks, which was a career high for her, including one on BG and one on Breonna Jones, and that's not an easy task.
Right.
So she played, you know, great that game, and I think that, you know, we're seeing that growth and that progression in her game as she continues to play more and more.
Yeah, that late block on Griner really was crucial. And of course, the Libs started 9-0, then 5-6 since. I know Sabrina has kind of struggled with her shot, but now they've won 3 of 4. The addition of Natasha Cloud has been huge. So assuming that JJ is going to be back relatively soon and healthy, what encourages you about the Liberty's ability to defend their title?
Yeah, you know, when they hit that rough patch and they had that road trip where they were not just down JJ, they were also down Leona Fibish. And Sabrina also missed a game because she had a neck issue. And so they were down for one game, like three starters. And when you're down two starters, that obviously changes the whole dynamic of a team and how you want to, you know, attack other teams and defend. And Leo and JJ are so important defensively to what this team does. And offensively, let's be honest. I mean, JJ and Leo are both floor spacers. And so, and Leo, I always credit her for like the hockey assist. Like when she's on the floor, the ball movement is just way better and way smoother. And so knowing that they were missing two starters, you kind of gave them a little bit of grace because you know that, okay, JJ is so important to this team, but it also showed how important those two players are, obviously. So when Leo gets back and they lose a few more games, you're kind of thinking like, okay, maybe this is something to worry about, right? But I think, you know, just what we've seen over the last several games, no, this team is finding ways to win without JJ, and I think that's really important. I mean, they had a really interesting lineup that they played in the third quarter that really swung the game against the Dream, where Breanna Stewart was playing point. And, you know, I think it's the ability to like play with these different lineups and put players in different positions and kind of see what that looks like. And it kind of prepares you for having maybe an advantage to some degree in the postseason, right? Because you know that players have more experience playing with other players and you can kind of mix up lineups and attack in different ways and not have to show all of your cards.
Talking WNBA, Madeline Kenny of the New York Post. So you've worked in Chicago, San Francisco, now New York, and you understand, I guess you would call it the battle for media coverage. And, of course, in New York, you Yankees, Mets, NFL's approaching, the Knicks run to the Final Four. How would you kind of describe the Liberty spot in the city sports hierarchy after winning the championship? And now there just seems to be extra eyes on the W.
Oh, there's definitely extra eyes on the W, but we've kind of been seeing this since, I would even say, back in 2019 is where you kind of started to see a little bit of the shift. Obviously, the Caitlin Clark effect is undeniable in the amount of eyeballs that she's been able to bring on, but even when Sabrina joined the league, that was obviously the pandemic, the bubble season, which was a little difficult. A lot of people had other things going on, and there was a lot going on in the world.
Right.
But we didn't see, you know, year after year, there was this kind of growth before now we've hit a surging point, which is great. When it comes to like where the Liberty are in New York media, look, I covered the Sky in 2019 and 2020 and a little bit during their championship season in 21. And the amount of media members who come to Liberty practices and come to games is kind of, it kind of blows my mind. I mean, there's a lot of people there, like dozens of media people there. They have a lot of beat reporters, you know, whether that be, you know, obviously I'm at the New York Post, but there's blogs, there's Winsider, there's so many other, The Next is a women's sports newsletter. So there's a lot of outlets that are covering the Liberty on a pretty regular basis, and other papers too. So, I mean, I think it's good. I think, you know, the WNBA is a legitimate league at this point and deserves to have coverage the way that we cover the NBA or other sports.
I think Ellie the Elephant deserves her credit as well.
Yeah, definitely.
We being here in Oregon, I always say that Sabrina has played for the two best mascots, the Duck and Ellie the Elephant.
Oh, but... yeah, you got a point there.
You know, much was made of this recent poll. Fans, media, players, where Caitlin Clark was voted one, then three with the media, ninth among her peers. And my initial reaction was, oh, come on. But then you realize injured half the year, shooting is down, a lot of turnovers. I'm curious as to your read. I don't think we could eliminate the jealousy, the fact that what's the top salary in the W, $250,000, and she made $11 million last year. But she elevates TV ratings, attendance. What's your take on this? It's kind of an interesting subject.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that players are necessarily jealous of her. I think there's, you know, gratefulness and understanding that she is very much a part of this movement and has been gotten a lot of eyeballs to on the game of women's basketball at the college level and then now at the WNBA. That's clearly followed. And look at the crowds that she's bringing when she goes kind of everywhere. I mean, it's reminiscent a little bit of Steph Curry, I would say. Just there's always Caitlin Clark fans when she's on the road. I don't think it's necessarily jealousy amongst players. I think that there's an understanding and a respect, but there's also this, you know, when you come in as a rookie, it takes time to like build the respect from your elders, right? Like Diana Taurasi and Caitlin recently were on, I think it was like a podcast or something. They were joking about Diana's comments about, you know, giving her a wake up call or whatever,
right,
when
right.
she got to the league. Like that's how you show respect. Like if it's kind of like, you know, when you're like a young, I have a lot of siblings. I'm one of nine.
Wow.
So I have four older brothers, but you know, when like your older siblings kind of pick on you, but then you stand up to them and then they stop picking on you as much. Cause they're like, oh, you earned my respect. You know what I mean? Like you got to earn your flowers to a degree. So I think that, you know, players, obviously, there's some bias, right? Like, there's some players who play with other players who want to see them be all-stars or be successful. And I think there's media members and fans, obviously, that have bias as well. But I think when you look at what Caitlin has done this season, there was no doubt she was going to be an all-star because of the fan vote, obviously. But also, she did miss a significant amount of games. I mean, that's part of the reason why that is the reason why Jonquel Jones is not an all-star, because of the amount of games she missed. But if she, the numbers that Jonquel Jones has been that posted in her nine games are all-star level. And so I think that might be why she, you know, wasn't voted as high amongst players, just because she did miss a lot of games. And that's something that's noteworthy.
No, that's
turnover to assist ratio. I mean, it's not great. But you know, I think that's also a sophomore slump. We see this all the time. It's not unheard of that a player has like a little bit of slump in their second season. So I think she'll turn it around after the All-Star break when she's fully healthy, has a few more days to kind of like get her legs under her and just kind of go.
Yeah, I also think there's an element of her teammates are learning that no matter where they are, if they're open, she could be three quarters of the way down court. She might get them the ball because sometimes it goes off their hands. They miss a layup. So, yeah, there's a lot to drink in. The last thing I want to get to, Madeline, is we are the Duck Station, so I want to hit on Satu Sabali, who we first dubbed the Unicorn 6 years ago. Now she's with Phoenix, who ironically has not really been a factor since Coach Brondello was with the Mercury. And, of course, they acquired the remarkable Alyssa Thomas. When you think about this team, how legit do you think they are to contend come playoff time?
Yeah, I mean, they're the real deal. I mean, the way that the Mercury have been playing this season, it's really impressed me, honestly. I was kind of curious on how the dynamic was going to work out or how this team was going to look because I thought that they had a really lethal starting lineup, but I wasn't really sure about their bench. But the way that they've been able to play, I mean, there's no doubt that they're contenders for a title this year. I mean, I throw them in the mix with Lynx and Liberty and, you know, but it's good. It's good that, you know, we're seeing this, like, parity amongst the league, that there's, you don't necessarily have all these, like, the different tier levels, right? Like, you want there to be some level, equal level playing field to make things more interesting. And so, but I really like Phoenix. I think that they have a really good thing going. And, you know, who knows? They might not be done adding to their roster. And, you know, Emma Mieseman is still a free agent out there. Somebody's going to get her, whether that's the Liberty, whether that's the Lynx, whether that's Mercury. I mean, who's to say, but that's something to definitely watch. I feel like whoever gets her, their chances of winning the title will definitely increase because Emma's a winner.
Yeah, we have been pretty proud of the performance of Satu. I mean, because she's had injury issues as well, but she's been fantastic this year. Folks, she's Madeline Kenny, wired into the Liberty and WNBA, covering the beat for the New York Post. Online, check out the work, nypost.com. Give MK a follow on X. The handle is at Mad Kenny. Madeline, thanks so much for finding the time to join our show. Greatly appreciated. You be well. Good luck fighting the NYC Heat. And I look forward to talking again as the second half moves along.
Yeah, again, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, take it easy.